From the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Barstool Big Cat. Host of Pardon My Take. And voluminous tweeter at Barstool Big Cat. It's time for his weekly conversation with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
That's right. Big Cat every Tuesday at 4 o'clock joins us. He's brought to you by our great friends at the Curcio Law Offices. Check out RJ Curcio. He's going to win you your cases that you need. He's on retainer for Big Cat as well. With the Curcio Law
Offices. Does he need representation these days?
It's just a retainer, just in case.
Just
you know?
In case.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Big Cat, everyone was talking about the hot dog straw guy who was drinking the beer at Yankee Stadium. A, tell us what you thought of that, and B, tell us what you guys did today to sort of take it to the next level.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that. I just want to start, though, by saying hello to my very dear friend, Tom Waddle, and my fake friend, Mark Silverman. So just wanted to say that off the rip.
What happened?
Is it because of
lack of congratulatory text message?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I'm starting to think that I'd like to retroactively take back the time I called you when you had cancer. Because it feels like, you know, I don't know. I'm thinking about retroactively striking that from the record.
I've been through too many business transactions in my day. Elon Musk and Twitter, everyone was talking about that. Never happened. I'm waiting for this thing to go through in February before I start congratulating you.
Okay.
All right?
Well,
I mean,
it was nice to hear from my good friend Tom Waddle, you know?
I'm drinking free when Big Cat comes to town, and you're paying for your own.
Yeah, it is. I, you know, my life's work, a decade plus of hard work, and there will be, Waddle and I will be going on a nice vacation together. We'll be going on John Fox's boat.
There you go.
And you'll have to be stuck at home. So that's how it's going to go.
It's going to be your own boat, my man. I mean, first of all, this relationship is not about money. That's the way I view it. Like, I view it through the lens of life. And to me, look, I know you're rich and successful. To me, this is about milestones in life, and I'm not here for the money.
Stop digging. Stop digging. Okay. Put the shovel down.
Yeah, yeah.
Just congratulate him on his fat pockets and just move on.
Yeah. You're not here for the money. That's good to know because I was going to just pay all my friends, my dear friends, a lump sum, but now you're out. You're out of that.
Five times it came up in my brain. I'm like, I got to text Big Cat. I got to text Big Cat. And I kept forgetting. I even had a conversation with my wife about it. And I'm like, and then I never texted him.
And now you're out of the will.
And now he's got to point it out like that.
You're out.
Yeah. You're out. No, you know what's funny, though? Like, it was news, but it wasn't news because they actually, like, that was the plan two and a half years ago when Penn bought us. So it wasn't even... It was just nice to hear from Waddle. But let's talk some hot dog beers. I love the move. I tried the move today with a Diet Coke. It's disgusting, but I'm not going to stop any person in America who wants to drink their beer through a hot dog. That was what I was standing up for last night because people were getting upset. If people aren't on Twitter, they missed the video. The guy poked a hole through a hot dog and used it as a straw with his beer at the Yankees-Mets game. And listen, it's one of those situations that it might not be for you, but the fact that he has the freedom to be able to do that, that's what America is about.
Hey, that wasn't just some, organic moment, was it? Where, this is totally staged.
It was staged. It was staged. But I don't care. At this point, with the internet, so, like, I hate the guys who are like, oh, fake, staged, that's staged, like, listen, if it's funny, it's funny. If it's weird, it's weird. I don't care if it's staged. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to laugh. Like, it was a ridiculous look. So, and then I tried it today. And like I said, I it's not very good. I tried a burrito. I tried a hot dog. And I tried a eclair. And I think the burrito was the winner. So,
an eclair? Great.
Yeah, using a burrito as a straw was the winner, easily.
Interesting. And now you did this, though, with you didn't do this with beer?
No, I did it with Diet Coke and some water. So we taste tested it that way. Yeah, the Diet Coke maybe was a mistake now that I'm saying it out loud. Yeah.
See, like to me, Big Cat, the people who go, oh, that's disgusting with the hot dog and the beer. If you're at a baseball game, you probably have a hot dog in one hand and a beer in the other hand. And you're probably eating the hot dog and you're washing it down with beer anyway. So you're mixing it to begin with.
Yes, that's a fact. That's an absolute fact. So why not just cut out the middleman and get a nice hot dog flavored beer. I'm surprised that doesn't exist. It probably does.
I am too.
There's probably some microbrewery that has dog flavored beer.
Listen, yeah. I can buy popsicles that are pickle flavor. So I have to believe you can buy hot dogs that have at least beer infused. What's the worst staged video that you looked at and go, that's not funny, and I'm not going to attempt to do any of that?
There's I feel like it happens every now and then where like there'll be a video where a guy gets thrown into a public fountain or something and you're like, okay, that's completely staged. Yeah. Those ones when it's so obvious that it's staged, yeah, it will turn me off. But I used to be one of those guys who was like, oh, that's fake. You can't enjoy it. No, I'm gonna enjoy whatever. I don't care if it's fake. Let me enjoy it. Let me start drinking hot dogs with, or beers with hot dogs.
Find a way to make some money off of it.
What's your biggest, vice? I don't know if vice is the right word, but like...
Gambling?
Money.
Gambling, yeah.
Money.
Yeah.
But I meant to watch on the internet. Like, what is the one thing that gets you... Like, to me, I've always told you it's the fight videos. When I see the stadium fight videos, the airport fight videos, I'm here for every one of them, and I want my friends to forward them to me.
Yes, yes. No, for me, it's very simple. I will laugh no matter what. It could be in person. It could be on the internet. It could be whatever. I laugh so hard whenever someone pukes. I don't care what the situation is. It just makes me laugh every single time. It makes me laugh so hard. I know some people are grossed out by it, but I cannot get enough of it.
You also like the videos of people harming themselves severely.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Broken legs, anything like that. Yeah. Those get me going. Absolutely.
You do. I mean, is there a level of injury that you'll actually draw the line at?
I haven't found it yet.
Okay. Sure, we don't want anybody sending you any accidental death videos or anything.
Oh, there's been some times where I follow some of those accounts, like the skydiving accounts or the people climb up huge cranes, and then it will be like sensitive material, like click at your own caution. I always click through. I know that there's probably going to be something horrific on the other end.
That's awful.
You know, curiosity, right?
Yeah, for sure. Before we get into sports, I saw you just tweeted something out. What are you taking part in, a basketball cardio class? What is this?
Yeah, I'm working out. Actually, it started in Chicago. My buddy started it in Chicago. It's called Swish House. So they have it in Chicago. They have it in New York. It's just in there, running around, trying to stay in shape. It's ugly. It's ugly when I'm out there. But it's there is no better cardio workout than basketball. And it's basically the idea of, who wants to go to the gym, right? Who wants to go and lift weights or get on the elliptical? You're bored out of your mind. Why not? Like, when you play basketball, whether it be pickup or just running around and shooting, you get the best workout, and you also are playing a game. So I'm trying to, get myself back in shape.
Interesting.
I think
I saw you, Waddle. I saw you shooting. I saw you shooting a few days
ago.
You were shooting, too, or were you playing tennis?
Well, I was playing tennis.
No, but you were shooting, maybe it was maybe a month ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Tennis club.
Yes, yeah, I was making it rain. Oh, yeah.
When
I was dropping threes. This is a while ago.
Nice little stroke. Yeah. That's the thing that Waddle has in Sylvan. We've talked about this before. It's so unfair. Any guy who is an athlete in, your little pro football league that you played in, they just have the ability to pick up any sport and look so much better than everyone else.
It's disgusting. It also puts in perspective all the time. I know a lot of people have said this, but you think you're sort of you're used to hanging around with guys who are in your own weight class, so to speak, guys who you grew up with in Skokie and are all about the same, and you think you're a pretty good athlete for the guys you grew up with. And then you find a guy who played 6 years for the Bears, and then you're like, You don't realize he was made fun of because he wasn't, quote, fast, or he wasn't, the most athletic. Right. But he is an incredible athlete.
Right. And, I played basketball with my friend Mark Titus, who people probably know. And, he was a walk-on at Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
And we got out there, I think he missed, like, you know, the first 5 minutes, he missed a bunch of shots, and then he hit one shot, and then he didn't miss for, like, 50 minutes. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. That's the difference here.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Hey, by the way, how did you convince KD to stay?
Oh,
man. Yeah, the big news. This was so obviously what was going to happen, right? Like, there was nothing they could do because you can't trade a guy. It's actually similar to Roquan. Like, Roquan, what are you going to do when the guy says, I want to be traded, and then every team lines up and is like, all right, we'll give you a six-rounder for it. Like, you can't trade a guy when you don't have any leverage as, like, the GM in ownership because he's so, you know, upset. You just got to be like, listen, man, you signed a four-year deal. Like, come to camp. What are you going to do? You want to play basketball? You're going to retire? So, the Roquan thing, the way that all, you know, fell apart, that's how we all kind of figured it was going to happen, right? And I'm almost, as much as I like Roquan, I'm happy that Ryan Poles kind of stuck to his guns and didn't do the dumb thing of trading him for nothing or signing to a contract that made no sense.
We're scarred, Big Cat, because I was like, attaboy, Ryan. Like, I felt good about the way they handled it, that he had the leverage, he knew it, he didn't panic. Roquan goes on.
He didn't flaunt it.
Right, right. And Roquan made the trade thing. And then what did Poles do? He didn't hide. He's like, we want him. We feel it was a fair offer. And then what did he do? He didn't panic in any regard by trying to call a bunch of teams and get lowballed. He didn't go and he didn't overpay for Roquan. He's like, hey, you want a ball for us? Go out and show Eberflus your Shaq Leonard. Then we'll talk next year. And then all of a sudden, because he's originally a pace guy, if you perform for these guys, he will become a Poles in Eberflus guy if he does stuff for them. And then I think he's more likely to get the long-term deal.
Absolutely. And it's weird because in sports, you know, I think what's happened in the last, I don't know, say call it 5 years, the player empowerment is good. I like players having more power. I think they should. But the pendulum has swung probably a little too far in one direction where, maybe not Roquan, but like a guy like Kevin Durant who just signed a four-year deal is like, I want to be out. It's like, dude, you just signed a four-year deal. Like, I know that it, you know, contracts can be broken, but like, what are we doing here? You know, like in Roquan, I want him to be a Bear. I want him to be a Bear for a long period of time, but he just, the reality of the situation is he does not play a premier position in football. Like, that's just how football, if we went 20 years ago, Roquan would have been given all the money in the world, but it's not how it works now.
I'm scared. The KD thing brings to me, it just shines the light on it again. I mean, I think we all realize this, but as Bulls fans, and we're watching the way Jerry's team handled a baseball team that was good but not great and needed some more spending and more reinforcements to it. I think this is just another team that's better than the Bulls that will stay together in the East, Big Cat, and that this Bulls team is just so far behind some of the other really good teams in the East, and I don't think they're going to do anything about it. I think they're happy that they've got the building full again and that they will take just making the playoffs and being competitive and won't, quote, go for it.
You're absolutely right. Like, if you shot Jerry Reinsdorf with truth serum right now, and you're like, hey, sign right here for 48 wins and the sixth seed, he'd probably take it. And it's like, that's just, it's unfortunate because, and it's the reality of every sport. There's every year, there's teams that are trying to win a championship and there's teams that are just kind of trying to fill the arena and make money. And I think the Bulls fall into that category, which is insanely frustrating.
You'd also find out he'd like to sign Tony La Russa to a two-year contract extension.
Right.
If you hit him with the truth here.
What about as a two-way player for the Bulls?
That maybe so.
You know the White Sox are doing stupid things when Sylvie's losing his mind on Twitter. I saw that. I saw yesterday. When COVID was pitched. Yeah, right. When COVID was, he hurt himself in warm-ups. And then they threw him out there, and he was throwing like 80 miles an hour. And so I saw the tweet, and I was like, wait, are the Cubs playing right now?
I realized, amazing. Waddle and I say that all the time. Neither of us are true Sox fans, and we're going back, you know what, crazy.
Watching it.
Right, because it's just wrong. Like, even if you're not a fan of the team, you're watching it, you're like, this is wrong. What he's doing is wrong. Why is no one saying anything?
It's crazy.
I think all the fans are, except the ones who matter.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, this is completely unrelated, but is the Baltimore Ravens 22-game win streak in the preseason maybe one of the strangest streaks of all time?
It's insane, and I mean, I've been betting it.
Have you been making money on it?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. I was late to it in that I think I started maybe 2 years ago and just auto-betting them every single preseason game.
22 in a row.
How do you, like, what is that? What do you attribute that to? I have no idea. Like, you can't. That's such an insane stat in meaningless games. What is John Harbaugh doing that is making this happen? I don't know. It is actually one of those things that has gotten so ridiculous that I would watch like a 20-minute documentary on it. Being like, this is how the Ravens, get ready for preseason games, just because I'm so curious.
Tyler Huntley was, he had a quote. He's the backup quarterback, the guy that came here and beat our ass last year.
Beat the Bears, yeah.
Basically, I'm trying to find, I just had the quote from him. He just says, it means a lot to us in terms of winning in the preseason, just to show that every time you step on the field with the Ravens, you got to be ready to play because we're ready to play. It just shows we're trying to win every time we touch the field.
It's good culture, right?
Yeah, like, it has to be.
It has to be something like, and they're a team that is always competitive, and they've won a couple Super Bowls in the last 20 years. Like, it clearly they're doing something right. By the way, I know I'm not supposed to overreact to preseason games, but I'm now slowly, as August turns into September, I'm starting to buy into maybe the Bears can be frisky.
Frisky.
I really am.
What does frisky entail? Like,
I love it.
They're going to give people hell but still lose. They're going to win more than they lose. What is it?
I'll explain to you exactly what frisky is. Frisky is 7 wins. Frisky is 2 of those wins being against teams that they have no business beating.
Okay.
So maybe a Packers win, like where they're like 7 or 10 point underdogs. And frisky is every game they're sort of in it. No real blowouts, no like just complete embarrassments. I'm starting to think they might be frisky, boys.
I like it.
This is frisky. A good step because they're not, you notice what I'm saying. I'm not saying good. I'm not going to delude myself.
Saying frisky.
But I was confirmed saying they were going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL all summer long. And now I think it might just be that the difference between Matt Nagy and a new regime might get them to frisky, where like guys are lined up in the right places.
Yes.
Plays are being called that should be called.
The simple
stuff.
They're
using the tight end.
Yeah.
Like all these things. Like that's the best part about the NFL is if you can just do the little things well, you can go from bad to frisky.
Yeah, and listen, they've committed, I think they had 5 penalties for like 50 yards in game 1. They had 3 penalties for like 30 yards in game 2. They've had 1 turnover. I think Sylvie and I have been on the same page.
That's a corner of football under Matt Nagy.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, it doesn't mean that they're going to win more than they lose. It just means that maybe they put the junk pistol away. You know, that pistol that they pull out and shoot themselves in the junk every Sunday?
Right.
Like, the Sunday afternoon junk pistol needs to be put in lock and key.
And here's the best part about a frisky football team, okay? A frisky football team you can win money on. Because, they're not gonna have a great record. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you the Bears are a playoff team or they're going to go over 500. But a frisky team can cover some spreads for you. And if they're going to be bad, they might as well be frisky.
We didn't ask. Me too.
It's a new category.
I was a bobblehead right now.
I was too.
Oh, yeah. Sing it, big cat. Let's go. We're frisky, and we're happy about it. You give us a scouting report on Jack Sanborn. He's just overall seems like a bear.
Well, you did see the Sanborn game, didn't you? The Sanborn game in the first preseason game?
Yes. I mean, listen, he is a bear at heart, and I – we need more guys like him. That's a frisky football player. You need guys who just listen, this has been, everyone who listens to your guys' show, you know that I've been very down for a couple months now, but something about Thursday night, I watched that whole game and I was like, this team is frisky. I like it.
Me too.
Something about it. They look a little different. Like, it just feels like the incompetence has, and again, there's a big talent gap. They still don't have, like, the top-end talent. Did we have anyone in the top 100 when the NFL announced it? Who'd we have?
Three. We had three. So we had Montgomery. Oh, okay. We had Roquan, and we had the highest
Robert
was Quinn. Yeah. At
40-something.
Okay. All right.
So that's good. But, like, then you see teams like the Niners have, who were playing week one, you know, they have, like, three or four guys in the top 25.
Right.
We don't have that top-end talent.
No.
But you don't need top-end talent.
When you're frisky.
So,
yeah.
Right. And this could all change quickly because it's obviously the Niners and the Packers. Week one and week two is not easy.
What is the opposite of frisky? Don't say not frisky. So what would the opposite of frisky be?
The White Sox.
Yeah, they're fun just suckers? Like a dumpster fire.
Yes.
Yeah, the opposite of frisky is like year two of Trestman when it was like the team not only stunk but they were. They like didn't have any will either. You know what I mean? Like where it's like you go out there and you can just see like not only are we going to lose on talent, but we're going to lose on effort. The frisky teams are the teams with no talent, but they have the effort and they do the small things, special teams plays, whatever it may be. And it's like, okay, this team is not going to give up. The perfect example is Nebraska last year. I think they won three games and they covered like every single game. Like they were the best three. Yeah, they were the best three-win team of all time. What did you think about that, Waddle? Did you see Scott Frost and his offensive linemen are puking 15-20? And I think Dominic Raiola was with the Bears for a few years. That's got to be too much puke, right?
I think it is. I don't think that lots of puke equals wins. I just don't.
Right.
I mean, I don't think that makes you frisky either. That just makes you pukey.
Did the Ditka Bears, though, measure their practices with
based
how many
on
guys?
Puking? Yeah. No.
Like, how many IVs? Remember when the coaches used to brag, hey, we had 18 guys get IVs.
That,
we really gave it a good
true.
Practice.
IVs were a better measuring stick or way of keeping score than puking. That may be true.
I almost killed my football team in training camp. They're ready to go.
Well, I heard Dan Campbell even today. It's the best statement in all of football. I watched the first episode of Hard Knocks today. Well, I wasn't doing your basketball insane thing. I was just jogging on the treadmill. But he said, guys, this is going to be, you're not going to be healthy again till next March. This is going to be the best you feel for the next 7 months. He's right. Yeah.
Yeah, he's right. And I do think there is a.
That's a frisky team.
They're close to good because that is the next step to frisky. But yeah, they are going to be a frisky. They were frisky last year when they stunk.
Yeah.
Like, they beat the Cardinals. Like, that type of – that's a perfect example where it's like they beat the Cardinals when they're 10-point underdogs at home. But I do think there's a competitive advantage in football today where teams that are, like, they actually are tough. And because I think it's not – I don't want to be like old man yells at clouds, but the game has changed. It's played a little bit – it's played differently for the safety, which is good. But, you know, there's no two-a-days in training camp. Pads are not on as much. So I do think that the teams that have that toughness do get a little bit of edge on Sundays, and you see it when you, like, when you go up against a team that might not have that talent, but they have the toughness.
Really quick random questions here.
By the way, did you see what RJ just tweeted?
Curcio? About Big Cat on everything?
At Barstool, Big Cat, Sylvie not congratulating you amounts to a conscious disregard for the relationship. You want me to fire up the printer and get an infliction of emotional distress suit going?
Yes.
Just say the word.
Yes. I do want all of that.
Not only are you upset, you could sue him for emotional distress.
He's my attorney, too. What is he doing here?
He's going to get paid on both ends of this.
That's smart. That's a smart guy. That is a very smart guy.
Danny Zetterman was ripping Waddle. Waddle's youngest daughter is going to Boston College
today.
She left today.
My wife.
He's now an empty nester.
Empty nest.
Yes.
Oh, man.
But Danny is saying, as a father, it is his duty to be there as well. Would you ever let your kids go to college without you being there?
What do you mean, to drop them off?
Yes.
Yeah, you could do that. What does it matter? Yeah,
listen,
you're
all these,
paying for
you know what, Big Cat? All of these guys who have never sent a kid to college have all of these rules and regulations and all of these strong feelings. How about one of these for all of you?
Whoa, look at you.
Yeah. I've put three other kids through college and was there for it.
There's no chance to, like, if you play it out. You go there, you move her in, and, like, an hour into it, she's like, all right, Dad, see ya. I want to do college now.
By the way.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm just going to be in the way. Like, my wife is in Boston with her family, and they're having a couple of days together, and then they're going to go buy what they need. My wife's going to move her in, and she's going to look at my wife and say, okay, I got this, and then we'll be back in 3 weeks for Parents Week. So you know all you guys is, without this, college kids that want to pass judgment can go kick rocks.
I'm with you.
This is Sylvie's just trying to look. He's planting the seed so when his kids go to college, he gets another 2 week vacation.
Hey, this vacation shaming must end too. Don't turn into the man now.
Yeah.
Are you done? Are you done with vacations for the summer? You got one more.
The Friday before Labor Day will be a vacation.
Oh, that doesn't count. That doesn't count. That's just a day off.
Yeah. By the way, are you for sex only sections in baseball stadiums? Like we're like the A's. The A's are something.
Like, what's the big deal? Like, charge extra for that.
Yes.
Wait. So what are they doing?
Well, no, they're trying to find out. There was a couple that were doing the nasty in the stands.
All the way in the corner, no one was near them.
That's right. Now, listen, the A's get about 400 people per game. I would think that this may be a way to incite or entice people to come to the ball games. Have a sex section. A section.
Yeah. Just have orgy night.
Yes, orgy night.
But think about it. Orgy night, you can't have an orgy with just two people.
Right.
So now you've tripled your attendance.
Section 69, you pay a premium. Section 68, you get to watch, but you don't get to participate. It costs you less.
I saw a stat. I think they're the first team, excluding COVID years, that's going to average under 10,000 attendance since the Expos.
See, not if there's
a
section.
Not if there's a section.
Yes, I like that. I like where your head's at.
Great stuff. RJ,
congratulations again, Big Cat.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you, Waddle.
You're welcome.
No, Sylvie, I'm rescinding that. Taking it back.
Taking the cancer wishes away.
Yeah, I'm taking that back. Pretend that call never happened.
He was one of the first guys to call, too.
Of course he was.
No, I wasn't. I never called. I never texted.
No, we talked. Oh, now, yeah.
No, that's right.
Not as I remember.
Yeah, right. See ya. There it is. There's Big Cat.
Bye, guys.
Brought to you by RJ Curcio, who I thought we were friends, but I guess not. Now he's coming after me. He's all of our attorneys.
Highest bidder. Right, well, you said that RJ's on retainer for him. Is RJ on retainer for you?
I think he's for us. He's a show attorney. He's our show's attorney.
Okay.
Coming up next, I'll give you another example of a frisky team, also in town.
Oh, yeah.
In the good, the bad, the dirty, coming up next.
From football teams making game day adjustments to students, parents, and teachers gearing up for a brand new school year, it's the season when so many are bound and determined to make a fresh start. But one team's been focused on freshness for over a century, and that's the crew over at your local Jewel Osco. This group prides itself on bringing you top-quality produce, butcher-fresh meat, real-deal deli items, baked goods, and so much more. You'll score all this freshness right at your fingertips with each winning trip to Jewel Osco.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter. The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow, so many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Right, it's the good, the bad, the dirty, and it's brought to you by our great friends and partners at Window Nation. Call Window Nation today at 866-90-NATION. Buy two windows, get two free. No payments of any kind till 2025. Visit them today at windownation.com. A-plus rated Better Business Bureau. The customer service off the charts. You're going to love them. Like I got my new windows. Check out Window Nation today. Around the room we go. One thing good, one thing bad, one thing dirty. Usually on Mondays, but we weren't on yesterday. So let's recap what's happened over the last 3 days since we last talked to you on Friday.
Let's do it. My good is Johnny Cueto's performance on Saturday. We've spent a lot of time banging on the Sox. Rightfully so. I think they deserve a lot of the criticism that they are receiving. But Johnny Cueto has been one of the few kind of bright lights throughout. Obviously, Dylan Cease has been one. Jose Abreu, you know, in a number of areas. But Cueto, Saturday in Cleveland, 8 2/3, 5 hits, 0 runs. Once again, leading the way and showing you what true excellence has been this year. So Johnny Cueto is my good.
Wasn't he named the American League Player of the Week?
Was.
It wasn't
yes.
Pitcher of the
Just
Week.
Player.
Player of the Week
yeah.
for those two big wins he got last week. And
yeah.
he went 8 innings in both of them.
It's amazing,
he?
Too. It's like, I think it's a master class for young pitchers as well. Because his stuff is good, but his stuff isn't great at his age. But he knows how to pitch.
He's a pitcher.
He induces more soft contact than really anyone I've seen this year.
My good is something that Big Cat was pointing out. I would say that the Cubs are frisky these days.
I agree.
Like they're not good yet, but they've been playing good baseball, and they're not bad anymore. And, you know, they kept, obviously, Happ and Contreras. They get rid of them, it could be a different story. But again, what Morel's been doing, Saya's back now. They're getting pitching, Justin Steele, Keegan Thompson.
They're playing free and they're playing well. I've been busting your balls about this over the course of time, but I would agree with you. They're a frisky team that plays hard. They've been good.
Nico Hoerner, like, they're building a little momentum into next year, and now maybe it will give the owner some more motivation to buy, that you could supplement some free agents with some better young players. Like, one of their great, Canario, the kid who was just promoted from AA to AAA. He's had 30-plus home runs in the minors this year. They got him for Chris Bryant. He's one of the hottest players in minor league baseball. They've got guys coming. The Cubs just beat the Cardinals 2-0. Again, I don't know how good they're going to be next year, but I've enjoyed watching the Cubs over the last couple of weeks. They've been playing well, actually, since like the last week of June.
Yeah.
But especially
as of
late,
playing hard and playing
every
well.
Game they're in, they won 2-0 game one of the doubleheader
last
against the
night
Cardinals.
They lost 1-0. And they got, you know, they only were able to get one hit, but their pitching kept them in it.
Yeah. What do you guys got? What's your good?
I would say that the football fest on Saturday at the Hard Rock Casino in Hammond, Indiana was an absolutely awesome event. And I would encourage anybody to just remember this, because next year when we tell you to go ahead and register, you're going to want to be a part of it. We had a fabulous time. And I know you mentioned it, Sylvie, at the Hard Rock Casino, it was a great experience. So anybody who missed it this year, I would highly encourage you to check it out next year, because the entire ESPN 1000 family did a great job getting everything ready to go.
So many fans came up to us. I thought, you know, we had good. The good thing about it, too, not only did we have great programs with Field, with Shefty, a Bears panel as well. There's a gambling panel with Carmen Black Abdallah and the guys. Meller was in the back answering one-on-one fantasy football questions.
Fat Jack was there with
Fat
the guys,
Jack.
Wasn't he?
Yeah, we had 2 hours, though. 1 hour for the VIPs and then another hour for everyone to come in, where we were just socializing. It was just drink some whiskey, have a good time, and enjoy everybody. And without the fans, where are we? And it was a great time to connect with all of our fans. Charlie was there. Charlie did a great stand-up.
Yes, he did.
Really good job. Charlie was very impressed. You
Thanks,
wore your
guys.
Stand-up shirt, as I think Hoodie put it or Danny put it. It was very, very good.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It was a ton of fun to just be there and just kind of hang out. And, yeah, get to do a little stand-up. It went well. But, yeah, my good, going back to what you were saying about the Cubs, just a little more specific, how about a young 27-year-old left-hander named Justin Steele? He delivered another impressive performance on Sunday, and his ERA is down to 2.08 in his last 13 starts. He's got a 2.6 WAR this season, and as Sahadev Sharma points out, that puts him in the same range as Alek Manoah, Luis Castillo, Julio Urias, and Nestor Cortez. And those guys are all playoff starters.
A lot of people believe the Cubs have turned the corner on the ways to develop pitching. They finally figured it out.
I'll tell you this. There was a bunch of guys who I didn't
Don't
know.
Don't laugh
who...
at me, Meller. Don't laugh.
No, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at a young 22-year-old Charlie pointing out the young
27-year-old. Yeah. No, I thought that was funny as well. I will say this, though. I mean, there was a group of Cubs relievers who I had no idea, couldn't pick them out of a lineup, that had Nolan Arenado and Goldschmidt's number today.
It's incredible. Two games against the Cardinals in this five-game series, and they've held the Cardinals in 18 innings to one run.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah, frisky.
Frisky team.
Frisky.
What is your bad?
My bad is the performance of Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh. Now, again, from the perspective of those who want Mitch to be the starting quarterback, because now it seems to be...
Oh, this is bad news for Mitch.
Yeah, Mitch hasn't done anything really wrong. I mean, Mitch has been Mitch.
Mitch is Mitch.
Solid, doesn't make a ton of mistakes. You know, will escape a pass rush here and there. But at the end of the day, does it really wow you? I think we have more of a quarterback competition in Pittsburgh than maybe they initially expected, because Kenny Pickett, the rookie out of the University of Pittsburgh, has played very, very well, and now they're starting to talk on the national shows about Kenny Pickett's going to take over sooner rather than later. So if you had Mitch starting 17 games this year, maybe that's bad.
Yeah. I got a double bad. Just to reiterate, Michael Kopech was placed on the injured list today. 15-day injured list. Not good after the way they botched that yesterday, and I call it a botched job. It was really bad. And now you're without your pitcher for who knows how long with that knee injury, is what they're calling it. I also, did you hear the Dana White stuff? The Dana White sound, that what the Raiders did under Gruden in those last couple of years with AB, with having a chance then to get Brady, and it turns out that the MF-er was Derek Carr that he was alluding to. Dana White says it was a near-done deal. I heard Hoodie question whether or not Dana White was telling the truth. He was telling the truth. He was on with Gronk, with all of Gronk's family, wasn't
I think so,
that
yeah.
where he made the statement? Gronk was there to verify that him and Brady were just about ready to sign with the Raiders until Gruden pulled the plug at the last minute for whatever reason. That's bad.
Yeah.
And it ended badly for Gruden for many other reasons.
Yeah. Brady's back, by the way.
He's back at
practicing with Tampa.
Do you believe that he wasn't on the Masked Singer?
Yes. I don't believe he was on the Masked Singer. Yeah, I think he's at the age of 45.
He was on a vacation with his family.
On a vacation with a family that was probably planned when he announced his retirement.
What do you got, Miller? What's your bad?
My bad is the father-son duo I saw on social media in support of Deshaun Watson. Listen, you can want to give people a second chance, but let them show some contrition before you're openly supporting them. And just disappointing to see a father put a son who clearly doesn't know any better into a position where they're going to be ridiculed for the rest of their life because that's on social
media. What did the sign say? Free Deshaun? The kid was holding...
Yeah, it was a derogatory note.
The sign that the father was holding was very off.
Yeah, far more... explicit and unnecessary and just whatever. Deshaun Watson is, listen,
how about
he's
this?
Getting
be
out.
A fan without offending other people.
So that was disappointing.
It's the blind fandom. I was at a father-son fantasy draft in the suburbs of Chicago on Sunday. All young kids with their dads. And there was a father-son. They weren't holding signs, but they must be from Cleveland. They both had the Deshaun Watson jerseys on. The kid was no more than 9 years old.
And I understand you don't really get to pick your team. Oftentimes you're born into it and you want to support
that team.
Don't
get to pick your parents either.
But the truth is that you can cheer for your team, but you don't have to go overboard and support somebody who's put themselves in the position that Deshaun Watson has put himself in.
Right. Charlie, what's your bad?
Yeah, I know they've won a couple in a row now, but how about the Yankees? I mean, they were so hot to start the season. It looked like they were on pace for the 11th best winning percentage ever, and they went 6-14 as of Sunday in the month of August. It's been really bizarre to kind of watch them flounder like this because it's the Yankees, and you expect the pinstripes, you expect greatness all the time, and
they still have an 8-game lead in the division.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, that's the thing. But they're a team that wants to beat the Astros, and at this point, they're not looking like a team that can do that.
They're panicking too. Haven't you seen the way they've acted around
Aaron Boone? They've been smacking tables.
They've been at Rizzo and All of them, they're a little panicky for an eight game lead. What's your dirty?
My dirty is your lack of acknowledgement of Big Cat's big financial windfall.
The stock,
the friend
stock.
That has been there for you on any number of occasions.
I wanted to make
not
sure
get a congratulatory text from you. I think that's dirty.
This relationship is not about money. It's about friendship, true friendship. Everyone was talking about the hot dog thing with the beer. I didn't hear many people talk about the blood smearing that was going on at UFC. Did you see what was going on at UFC
the guy
over
grabbed,
the weekend?
They were on the mat or inside the octagon. He was rubbing his face in the blood of the other guy.
It was Luke Rockhold who was purposely smearing the blood on his opponent's face. The opponent actually won by unanimous decision. I saw this on social, and I'm like, what is this dude doing? This is completely disgusting. It's like something like Hannibal Lecter would do, you know?
Fictional character, by the way, right?
Buffalo, is it based on Buffalo Bill?
Wasn't Hannibal Lecter a fictional character?
Yes, he is.
Yeah. What I mean,
who's the true character? Is it the guy who had the girl in the hole? Buffalo Bill? Wasn't his name Buffalo Bill?
Yeah, he was That was the name of the serial killer was Buffalo Bill.
Whatever the case. It was disgusting.
It was gross.
All these people were like, oh, gross, he's drinking a beer out of a hot dog. I'm like, how about the dude who was rubbing his blood all over his opponent in UFC? That was gross.
Good point. Good point.
What do you guys got?
My dirty gentleman, I have just finished off the HBO series The Rehearsal. I think actually Jake Cantu gave us it as a what to watch for a few weeks back. Let me tell you, I don't know if it's good, but it is mind-blowing. And if you just watch the first episode,
what's it about?
How could it be it's mind-blowing, but it's not good?
It's not bad. I don't know if it's good. I'm still processing it. But if you watch the first episode, I think it's like 45 minutes. I promise you, it will blow your mind. So that's all I'll tell you.
What can we know without giving away the plot? Like, what am I getting into here?
It's like a docuseries.
Well, that doesn't do anything.
I don't know if you guys are familiar with Nathan Fielder. He did Nathan for you. Thank you, Charlie. But if you just watch the first episode, okay. Tell me what you think.
And wrap us up, Charlie.
Yeah. So earlier this month, Kirby Smart became the highest paid college coach after winning the national championship. And over the weekend, Nick Saban beat him despite losing to Kirby this weekend. So it was a fun few weeks for Kirby as the highest paid coach in NCAA. And then Nick Saban just signed a 8-year extension that will take him till he's 78.
He's always
Tony's his hero.
Yeah. Yep. 312-332-3776. That's the good, the bad, the dirty. Brought to you by Window Nation. A lot of news today. I mentioned Kopech and the good, the bad, the dirty. If you want to talk some socks, the Bears, we think, made a really good move today with what they plan on doing in the preseason finale. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Oh, I love that sound.
Can I have one?
It's the sound of Miller time.
Thank you.
We are celebrating Miller Time all year long. You should join in because it's fun and delicious. Taking the show on the road throughout the rest of the year, courtesy of our great friends and partners at Miller Lite. This Friday, we will be at Cousins in Tinley Park. Come on by, live broadcast 2 to 6. Start your weekend early with us. It's Miller Time at Cousins, and please celebrate responsibly.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
If you were listening to us last week, and you should be, every day right here, 2 to 6, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, you knew that we were not happy with the way the NFL scheduled a short week game in the preseason. So the Bears basically weren't able to practice much before the game. And then they basically weren't, because they flew across the country, couldn't do much at all during the entire week. And their starters, because of the short week, played that one series. That was it.
That was it.
And then we were led to believe it was looking. I think Big Z reported that all signs were pointing to Eberflus sitting everybody out for the third preseason game starters-wise. And we're like, wait a minute, the line's starting to come together. You still don't know who your five guys are. Justin Fields needs more than four series in the preseason. And the Bears today, I think, did a good thing. And they said that we're going to play up to a half of football with our starters. So, look, it's risky. I'm not going to pound. If an injury happens, it will suck. I'm not going to rip them. Because I believe that all these guys, this is a development year. And the more development is what they need.
This team was competing for a title this year and have a different perspective. This team is trying to build a foundation. And every snap's important to these guys. I have no problem with them playing their guys the first half of this game.
We have not talked much about Roquan, and we have not played the sound from Roquan over the weekend. Thought the Bears did a good job that way. We're throwing out some bouquets to the Bears here.
Team that we all expect to win six or seven games.
Big Cat said they're going to be frisky. I also want to give you a stat that Jesse just tweeted out about the Cubs. The Cubs did beat the Cardinals, and for all you Sox fans, as they're taking on a team, an up-and-coming team. Remember that feeling when you were young and up-and-coming at the right when it was starting to bloom after the rebuild? That's where the Orioles are. Seems like so long ago for the White Sox. If you want to weigh in on your frustrations, Kopech went to the IL today after his aggravating that knee during warm-ups yesterday, then being allowed to face four batters. So we've got lots of things to discuss. We've got Bears, we've got Cubs, we've got White Sox, 332-3776. We'll do that all next.